Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the video conference of the results of the first quarter of 2022 of Dasa. If you need translation, we have this tool available on the platform. For that, just click on the interpretation button on the globe-shaped icon at the bottom of the screen and choose your language of choice, English or Portuguese. We inform that this video conference is being recorded and will be made available on the IR page of the company, where the complete material of our results, the presentation will be posted. The participants will have their microphones turned off. We will then start the question and answers part. To make questions, click on the Q&A icon on the bottom of the screen, write your name, company, and your question. Your microphone will be activated for you to be able to make your question in your own voice. The questions will all be asked at one time. We'd also like to point out the information contained in this and any details which may be made during the video conference relative to the future business projects, projections, operational and financial goals of Dasa, our beliefs of the company, as well as based on information currently available. Future considerations are not guarantees of behavior. They involve risks and premises regarding future events. Therefore, depending on circumstances that may or may not happen, investors should understand that economic conditions, market conditions, and other factors, operational factors may affect the performance, the future performance of the company. Now pass the word over to Director of IR of Dasa. Thank you. Good afternoon to everyone. We'll start our presentation with the considerations of Pedro Bueno, President of Dasa, followed by Felipe Guimarães, Financial Director. We also have with us Sérgio Ricardo Sáez, Director of Strategy and ESG. Andre Dolabella, Director of Products, Marketing, and Experience. Elias Gasparetto, General Director of Oncology. Rafael Lucchesi, General Director of Outpatient Care, Diagnostics, and Coordination. Carlos de Barros, General Director of Dasa. They will also be available to answer your questions when we open the Q&A session right after we finish our presentation. I would now like to pass it over to Pedro Bueno.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our results call. It's a pleasure to announce the results of the first semester of 2022, where we've had important evolution in the standpoint of growth, execution of our strategy, and operational improvements, principally in the hospital and oncology area. We know that there's still lots of opportunities to capture, and we're focused on the execution of these fronts, which should direct the company during the year. This quarter, we also present to you Rafael Lucchesi. As we communicated recently to the market, he took over the directorship of Outpatient and Diagnostics. Lucchesi is with us for 10 years. He's a real important part of our team, and he's a leader in diagnostics. He's already been focused three-quarters of this business unit. Three-fourths of that other revenue. He'll be available for your questions at the end if you have any questions. Welcome, Lucchesi, to our earnings release call. It's a great pleasure to have you here. Now let's go to slide three. Today, we're gonna talk about five topics in our presentation. First, I wanna talk about the highlights of the quarter, the consolidated results. Then I'm gonna talk about the development of our core business, the hospitals and diagnostics, and also the development of Navi, our digital platform, and our navigation platform as well. Then Felipe will talk about our numbers and our balance. Now go to slides four. Slide number four, please. In the first quarter, we saw important advances in several strategic objectives announced to the market. First of all, in terms of financial results, the first quarter marked the beginning of the return to the levels of profitability that were more compatible with our performance prior to the fourth quarter, at the same time that we maintained a high level of growth of revenue. As we had signaled in our previous call, the results from the fourth quarter were affected by various popular effects. However, the operational results have returned in the first quarter. We took an important step, but we're still not satisfied, and we're working to capture the principal opportunities of profitability that are before us. Beyond that, before our IPO, we've been signaled that we will seek a complete infrastructure. This has been evident in the first quarter with the revenue coming from the hospital and oncology sector, arriving at 48% of our total revenue. We will continue to seek opportunities for growth for our business. We should also mention that this change has been significant in our mix, and our revenue mix occurred without deteriorating, relevant deterioration of our gross margin, of our gross margins, gross lucro, profit margins, compared to the previous quarter. In our core business, in the first quarter, it was very clear that our initiatives of efficiency and our playbook of integration for hospitals presented results with better performance as we planned. Outstanding was an important improvement of our gross profits in hospitals and oncology, with an increase of 5.5 percentage points compared to the first quarter of 21, and 12.9% compared to the fourth quarter of last year. These results were very exciting due to our initiatives are still in the beginning. And as we advance our playbook, we will see opportunities, significant opportunities for bigger advances. In the first quarter, it was also an important mark in our oncology sector, which has been growing quickly. And we are already the third largest player, independent player in oncology. Remembering that this is a business that we started practically from nothing just 2 years ago. Our unit, our outpatient care units and diagnostics and care coordination as market leaders, our revenue grew in relation to the first quarter of 21, even though we had the significant impact of lower revenue coming from the COVID crisis. And our initiatives, our high growth initiatives, as a segment of coordination of care with companies, we continue to maintain the growth of revenue in double digits. Thirdly, our digital platform and our initiatives for navigation sustain a growing movement in the first quarter. The number of unique users on the platform advanced again. We added 1.4 million new users in the first quarter, a number five times larger than in the first quarter of last year. At the same time, the revenue coming from our initiatives, our navigation initiatives, contributed positively to our growth with an increase of 170%. Now go to slide 5, please. DASA has demonstrated growth in expressive rhythm and consistently in the last years, and the first quarter was no different. The growth of gross revenue went to 32% in the first quarter of 22, totaling 3.3 billion reais, a record in the quarter for the company. Our business unit of oncology almost doubled its revenue compared to the previous year, an increase of 92.5%. We had an important part of this growth coming from acquisitions in line with our strategy. And in the top line growth we saw in the last call has also permitted us to capture important organic growth of 10.7% in the period. In the outpatient diagnostics area, we had a solid growth of without COVID of 7.7%, not including COVID. And due to the implementation of digital initiatives such as the web chat check-in and digital care, which we'll talk about more going forward. We'd also like to talk about the larger and larger high growth contributions from our initiatives. The coordination and genomics in altogether grew more than 30% in the first quarter. And we're very optimistic about the opportunities for growth in these initiatives. Slide number 6, please. Before we detail the details of the first quarter, I'd like to update you regarding our geographic presence, taking into consideration the fast implementation of our expansion plan since our IPO and the contribution that these assets have registered in our results.
Since the beginning of 21, we have increased the number of hospitals from 7 to 15. A number of beds almost doubled, reaching 3,550 beds. With this growth, the number of medical doctor's offices more than doubled, now hitting 389, which are now integrated with our hospitals, generating opportunities in the navigation of our patients. Finally, in the oncology segment, we went from 2 units at the beginning of last year to 29 units this year. And today we are present in 7 states and Brasilia, increasing our capacity to attend these clients during their entire journey in strategic and important cities. This helped us to offer a better experience for our users, increase our efficiency, and advance in our ecosystem strategy. On slide 7, we'll talk about our results of the oncology hospitals. The revenue of this unit almost doubled in relation to the first quarter of 21, with a growth of 92.5% due to organic growth of 10.7% and the contribution of the M&As. Our acquisitions were the principal factor which justified the growth of 77% in the number of installed beds. However, it's also worth mentioning that the increase in the number of operational beds was above a growth of 81%, a reflection of a higher index of operational beds as a percentage of installed beds and a better utilization of our infrastructure. The average ticket per day of 8%, an increase of 8% in the average ticket, helped the revenue to grow. While this also includes the AMA contribution into our revenue, the average ticket, excluding AMA, also increased in relation to the first quarter of 21 in 1.8%, which was very positive, considering that the rapid expansion in the number of beds and a huge contribution in the recurring revenue from the M&As last year might have diluted that average ticket. The average of the gross margin in the oncology units was the outstanding point of the quarter, an increase of 5.5% in relation to the first quarter of 21 and 12.9% compared to the fourth quarter of 21. The better margins in the hospital and oncology unit was an important step, showing our capacity to strengthen the operational performance through the execution of our playbook. These gains were gained quickly, and in some cases, in hospitals administered by us for only a few months. Let's talk more about these drivers and this better profitability in the next slides. Slide 8, please. In practice, we're looking at our business in 2 different groups of hospitals. The first group, we have 1,467 beds in hospitals with higher margins, 31.7% average margin in the first quarter of 22. These hospitals are mature and hospitals that we've had for longer. In spite of their satisfactory revenue, we have expenses of all the hospitals in the first group. On the other hand, 2,048 other beds, or about 60% of our total, are in hospitals with unacceptable margins of 16.2%, basically half of the profitability of the first group. These hospitals are, yes, usually less mature, or hospitals that we recently acquired and are still in the turnaround phase. We believe that the opportunity here is clear as we implement our best practices and execute the restructuring of hospitals with lower profitability, reaching what we've already reached in these hospitals, in the top tier hospitals. The quick advance of the recently acquired hospital leaves us confident that we will be able to realize this restructuring. Now on slide number 9, please. The advances in profitability in our hospital is the result of the implementation of a workflow on which we're working on, which we're advancing. In relation to revenue, an example of the flow is the an increase of average ticket per patient. On this front, we had an increase of 4.2% compared to the fourth quarter. From the optic of costs, we reduced 267 headcount due to higher efficiency per bed. These are just a few examples within our journey of the utilization of our hospitals. Now go to slide 10.
as we discussed in previously, our process of integration after the acquisition of hospitals goes through three steps. First, focused on people and culture with the priority for a first round of cost reduction. Secondly, increasing revenue with more complexity and an offering of services, a wider range of services. And third, expansion of the number of beds through brownfield projects. The results of the first quarter show the efficiency of this playbook. In the acquired hospitals, the process of integration has contributed with 13 percentage points in the advance of gross margins in the first quarter in relation to the fourth quarter of last year. The focus of phase two in increase the complexity and expand the range of services contributed with growth of 12% in the average ticket in relation to the fourth quarter, specifically for those hospitals, for acquired hospitals. And finally, in the San Domingos Hospital, we inaugurated a new tower, which will permit a brownfield expansion of 96 beds in the next quarters. We're going to continue to execute our playbook for assets which came in during the first quarter, looking at the great opportunity while the hospitals pass through these three phases of integration. Now go to slide 11. I want to share with you a case study of Le Forge to show how the implementation of this playbook works. We're going to bring the Le Forge case. The Le Forge groups has three hospitals in Greater São Paulo with 670 beds, being the largest acquisition that we've executed since the integration of IMPA in 2019. We concluded this acquisition in September of last year. And since then, we have increased the gross margins by 5.7 percentage points. In the first phase of our playbook, we hired two new directors to lead these hospitals, and we implemented our management model. Following that, we consolidated the administrative areas, and we did the first cost reduction wave, leveraging Le Forge. These savings have based on standardization of processes and medications and tables of price tables with our suppliers. In the second phase, we focused on increased revenue. We are reinforcing new specialties such as oncology and neurology, improving our surgical centers, and seeking important certifications. With these measures, we had better conditions to bring procedures of high complexity. Looking at the future, we still have more steps to be implemented, generating an increase of the complexity and revenue, a second wave of cost reduction, and opportunities for retrofit and a brownfield expansion in some of the Le Forge units. Let's go to slide number 12, oncology. At the beginning of 2022, we also advanced in our oncology strategy, offering Daza, positioning us as the third largest independent player in the market. We concluded in January the AMA Clinic, leader in oncology in the states of Bahia, Sergipe, and Rio Grande do Norte, reinforcing our position in Bahia, a strategic city for us due to the presence of our laboratories and of the Hospital da Bahia. Including AMA, the oncology revenue grew by 67% in relation to the first, when compared to the first quarter of 21. In 1st of April, we announced an agreement for the acquisition of Centro, a clinic, a reference clinic in Rio de Janeiro with a good reputation for care directed by oncologist Dr. Daniel, a reference in the area. We also reinforce our team, the Dr. Gustavo Fernandes, a well-known oncologist who was the president of the Brazilian Society of Oncology. Dr. Gustavo leads today our division of oncology nationally. Oncology is a specialty which has strategic importance for Daza due to the potential for integration in the patient journey, which includes the early detection in our laboratories, predictive algorithms, and the cares in our clinics and hospitals. Let's go to slide 13, moving to another business unit. Our outpatient clinics had growth of revenue in relation to the first quarter of 21, in spite of the negative impact equivalent to 5.1% due to the reduction of COVID testing. Excluding the COVID effect, we grew 7.7% in relation to the first quarter of 21. Our premium brand Alta continues to perform very well, with growth above the market in general, with an increase in revenue of 27% in relation to the first quarter of 2021. The revenue from the coordination with companies grew at a healthy rate as well due to the increase in the number of lives. The lives under contract grew 35% compared on an annual basis, while the lives of Dasa companies grew by 31% during the quarter. The gross profit grew in line with the first quarter of 2021, while the gross margin had a fall of 0.7 percentage points due to a change in the mix of the types of exams being offered. Slide 14, please. We continue investing in technology, in digital initiatives, trying to potentialize the experience of the user in our units. Our initiatives to accelerate the digitalization and the client experience gained strength in the first quarter, bringing benefits for the users as well as for Dasa and preparing us for a scenario with greater profitability in the future. Our web check-in services went through 1 million check-ins since it was launched last year, including 590,000 in the first quarter of 2022, where our services were offered. 21.5% of these services were done through web check-in. This reduces the average waiting time for users compared to the traditional model of check-in, and 95% of our users classified it as a positive experience. We expect to have important reductions in costs in our servicing units, especially in costs in relation to reception. At the same time, the volume of tests set up online increased by to a total of 900,000 schedulings. The percentage that was effectively set up online increased from 23.7% to 31.9%. The online scheduling resulted in a strong fall off in the number of users who needed interactions with one of our attendants in the call center. This also resulted in higher rates of productivity for our call center attendants. These gains of efficiency also grew as our online scheduling grows. Scales up. Slide 15, please. The number of new users, unique users on the Navi platform showed an inflection point in the fourth quarter of 2021. This movement maintained itself in the first quarter of 2022. The number of users, patient users, went up to 1.4 million users in the fourth quarter. Afterwards, it jumped to 1.2 million in the fourth quarter. The total number of users registered on the platform reached 3.5 million at the end of March. Beyond these patients, NavPro, an interface for the doctors, kept its movement growing. We had 4,000 new users in the fourth quarter. The number of users registered in NavPro reached 27 million at the end of March. The robust growth in the number of users happens at the same time that we maintain high evaluations by the users in the stores. The Navi received a note from the user of 4.5 of a total of five. 4.9 out of five, based on the average of the iOS and Android. With the biggest validation of the experience of our users, this evaluation grew in relation to the 3.7 points registered in June of 2021. We hope that the Navi platform will become a more and more important channel of connection between the patient and their doctors, strengthening the client experience and of the doctor generating efficiency for the health sector. Now go to slide 16. As we discussed in previous quarters, an important component of our growth is the application of our users in our ecosystem through experience which generate involvement, which permits better results and better efficiency for our clients. We observe this continuously, this evolution during the first quarter, with an increase of 121% in the number of patients navigated compared to the first quarter of 2021. Since the average ticket of the navigated patients also increased, the growth of revenue from the navigation initiative grew even faster by 160%. our number of consultations through telemedicine grew by 77%. At the same time, the number of users who were involved, engaged in this service through telemedicine went from 9.3% to 11.2%, 11.5%, always looking at the clinical questions. And I'm going to pass along to Felipe Guimarães, who will give us an update about our M&A. Thank you, Pedro. On slide 17, I'm going to present an update on our M&A initiatives. In the last quarter, we continued with the growth of the solid M&A base of DASA. And in this next quarter, we expect to continue. As we mentioned earlier, in January of 2022, we acquired AMO, a oncology clinic in the northeast of the country. Beyond that, we finished the hospital, Paraná Hospital, in March, which will contribute to our results for the first quarter in the second quarter of the year. This operation, we consolidated all of the acquisitions of oncology hospitals announced in 2021. Last night, we announced also the conclusion of the acquisition of announced in November of last year. AMEZ will increase the offering of several business of outpatient and diagnostics in our network, increasing the possibility for the navigation of our patients. We'll now go to slide 18. We want to comment on our financial results. We closed the first quarter with growth of 32% in revenue compared to the first quarter of 21, pushed by a strong increase in the hospital and oncology sector. The adjusted EBITDA registered growth of 23%, totally 616 million, with a fall in the margin from 1.2 to 19.6% due to a change in the mix coming from the hospital and oncology area, an increase of general administrative expenses to sustain our strategy for growth. In the first quarter of 22, other operational revenues were instigated by on the order of 50 million and has contributed positively to our adjusted results. Even excluding this item, we had our 560 still shows a margin of 20, and we recovered 5.6% compared to the first quarter, to the previous quarter. Going to slide 19, we're going to talk about our position, our debt and cash position. We closed the first quarter with a net debt to EBITDA of 3.1 times adjusted EBITDA, excluding expenses with stock options and non-recurring expenses. When we consider the non-recurring expense and stock options, our rate of leverage goes to 4 times. The leverage grew during the quarter due to the payments for the acquisitions acquired. We reached 9.2 billion and 2.9 of commercial paper. After the closing of the first quarter, we also complied with the emission of 2 more debentures in local debt in the range of 4 million. And it shows how we continue to access the capital markets with favorable terms, proving our investment thesis and our growth in the sector. We believe that the company will continue well positioned to take advantage of both organic as well as inorganic opportunities in the future. Now, we'll start our question and answer session. To make a question, please click on the Q&A button on the bottom of the screen. Mention your name and your company. Our first question comes from Mauricio Sabia, sell-side analyst from Credit Suisse. Mauricio, please. We're going to open up your microphone so you can make your question. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Pedro and other directors, thank you for this space. I have a few questions here. A little bit more about the future strategy. First of all, you spoke a little bit about the leverage, but this could limit you from inorganic expansion. For example, oncology. Are you doing well in the organic side, inorganic side, but how can you expand inorganically in that area? The second question is more about costs. We see that not only you, but the other competitors have worked very hard on this area. There's a lot of inflationary pressures. There's pressure on the tickets themselves. And we see that you're working on several fronts. Can you detail, please, what are the principal fronts that you're working on for cost reduction? And my third question is about the diagnostic area, which seems to be something that's more stable. What have you thought of as avenues for growth for that business? Yeah, and what the other health services that you have in the group have generated? And fourth question, a little bit more disconnected. But we've been discussing a lot about this base salary for nursing, a subject that seemed less probable, but now it seems to be advancing. What is the impact that you foresee if this diagnosis exposes you to, it exposes you to your professionals for the collection of biological material? Well, Cepeda, thank you for the question. Let me start here in the order in which you asked. First of all, as far as inorganic expansions, how do we see our leverage? Our leverage, as we mentioned to the market, we reached a peak right now in the first quarter. And with the generation of our EBITDA and cash in the company, we will see this rate of leverage going down during the year. So we still have some space to make inorganic expansion. We also have, as we mentioned, approximately 500 million of opportunities through the leaseback of real estate, which came with the acquisitions which we did in recent years. So we still have space. We've also used the strategy of parceled payments, of time payments, which permits us to get better negotiations, both in terms of multiples as well as in the number of payments and time payments over time. So we're concerned with M&A, but very assertively and prioritizing what it is that makes most sense within our strategy. What are the acquisitions that we'll never have to do again? So we don't want to do dozens of M&As as we did in the past. We expect to be more careful now and only acquire what's really relevant. Of course, if an opportunity appears, a very good opportunity, we can also do a compensation in our CapEx, internal CapEx plan, and prioritize it over other projects which we're working on. So there's still space. I'm going to pass it over to Felipe to answer your question about costs and the nursing salary floor. In relation to costs, they have a series of initiatives open. I would say four of them. The first is the area of digitalization of our business, of our diagnostic business, both in the units as well as in the service area. The second front, which is very important, is the standardization of our materials and medications and the amplification of this, which is also extremely key to our profitability. The third, we still have opportunities which we've taken advantage of over the year of the reduction of G&A of people, administrative people. So that's also a third front, which is extremely relevant. And finally, of the price list, with this consolidation of volumes in the hands of less suppliers, and with this larger volume coming from the integrated companies, we've already captured good opportunities, and some we still have space to capture additional opportunities. So these four fronts are the principal places that we see improvement in going forward. In relation to the minimum salary for nurses, the expectation this year of a smaller impact of 0.5 to 1% of our EBITDA. In 23, it could be something closer to below 2, but close to 2. You want to answer about oncology? Our principal focus is on organic growth. And the actions are, first of all, with the arrival of Gustavo Fernandez, one of the leaders in the country, we're bringing new teams, we're attracting new medical teams, which is very important for oncology. And we also have new signups and certifications in the oncology area, which also helps us in our growth. The third lever of four is the beginning of our activities in oncology units, which in the units which were acquired. For example, in the LaForge group, which is where it's very relevant, which is the navigation of patients, such as happens here in Salvador, where the patients are already being navigated to the hospital, at the hospital of La Bahia. And this means that our brands of diagnostic brands, Lemon Image, will be now sending them to AMO. So these are the four levers for the setup for the growth of AMO. We have a good installed park there. The acquisition of Dr. Daniel's clinic is also strategic to bring synergies to our business. Talking about diagnostics, we have important growth fronts, which we can mention here. Navi Unidois as a whole. We have the premium segment with Alta, which gains market share this quarter with a growth of 27% compared to last year. We also have in Auxilia, we grew by 47% in 2021 and now continues to grow. It's important, this is not including Covigia, these are services which will be fundamental for us in the long haul. But we also want to know all of the diagnostics with a growth of 47% in the first quarter compared to the first quarter of last year, and the services of collection with growth of 35% compared to the first quarter of last year. Of course, Daza companies, the professional line, helping these companies to have access Daza services, and also pushes our growth. And now the second part of the question, which is the question of services coming from other services of the group. I'm going to pass it over to Sergio, who will give you some more information about that. In truth, what we have here in the growth of the navigated revenue has been growing 170%, and we see a lot of opportunities there. It's been contributing to the growth of all of our businesses. However, what we're most excited about is the opposite, which is navigation of patients that we capture through diagnostics, identifying who is the seriously ill patient who needs oncology, who needs a more complex care, could be oncology or in a center or a hospital. And on this front, as we mentioned, it will contribute to all of our businesses, but especially in our high complexity business. Very well, Pedro, thank you. Emerson Lucchesi, and want to leave my congratulations for the clarity of your release and your presentation. Thank you very much. Maurice, our next question comes from Ricardo Boyech, sell-side analyst from the Safra Bank. Ricardo, we're going to open up your microphone so you can make your question. Ricardo, go ahead. Good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking my question, which I wanted to reinforce to Cepeda and the others. A breakdown about the disclosure of the presentation and for the clarity in your estimates of the impact of the nursing salary effect. My first question is in relation to the Grinch within this inflationary scenario which we're living, not only for healthcare, but for the economy as a whole. If you see any worsening in terms of the clinics or the healthcare operation, or is this not a problem? It's not a fact that you, that concerns you looking forward? That's my first question. My second question, which if you can give him a little bit of color. You have cash which will cover 2 years of payments on your principal debt, and you're working on with additional lengthening of that debt to be able to reinforce more your balance sheet, since the leverage will diminish gradually with the improvements in EBITDA. But thinking about due dates and cash availability and opportunities for M&A, how do you look at the balance of the company looking at these next months and years? Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you for your questions. I'm going to start here with the first question about affordability. First of all, I think you've accompanied this, even though some of the challenges, the market has started to grow. We see a growth of people with healthcare plans, which we haven't seen for a long time. Obviously, the crisis, the COVID crisis, brought even more. Gives them more will to sign up for healthcare. They leave other things aside. They tighten up other parts of their budget to be able to continue to pay their healthcare plans. So I think that this is a point which benefits our sector. Of course, it's clear the problem of affordability is a huge problem. It's the biggest problem, the fragmentation of the sector, which generates increasing costs, which we saw in 2017. We started to pivot our business, and we started to position ourselves to be able to address this problem together with other players in the sector, other operators, the doctors, et cetera. And we tried to solve this problem. So we see this as an opportunity for DASA, because we've been positioning ourselves as the player who's looking at the importance of clinical use, efficiency, the journey of in a more integrated and more intelligent way. So obviously this is a big opportunity for us to gain more share together with the operators compared to other service providers who do not have the same value proposition. And that's what we're working on this year. And we hope to gain these, to capture these gains. I'm gonna pass over to Felipe to talk about our debt. We're working hard on the lengthening of our debt horizon. As you saw in our last two issues, we issued 2B with a 5-year horizon and another issue of another 2 billion with a 6-year horizon, a little bit more than 6 years, which means that today our operation is close to 3 years of cash on hand. We still have lots to do. We have several issues with even longer maturities, a CRE with longer term loans, closer to 10 years to get our duration of our loans to a longer and longer horizon. Thank you. Thank you, Ricardo. Next question comes from Gustavo Mieli, sell-side analyst from Goldman Sachs. Gustavo, we're opening your mic so you can make your question. Go ahead, Gustavo. Thank you, Pedro, Felipe, and other directors. Thank you for the presentation. Two quick questions from our side. In listening to NAV, what it called our attention was the fact that it's been able to expand the number of users quite well and patients in the platform without sacrificing the perception of quality, which I think is a very positive point. But I wanted to understand a little bit better, what are the unit economics of this user who's entering into the base? Have you been able to evaluate that in terms of the traffic that he does inside of the network? Is he a user who goes to the different business units or not? Is he more simple to the legacy base of clients that you have? And I want to understand how much is user base through M&As and how much is a little bit more organic. Focus a little more on the profitability of this user in relation to the older users. My second question is a little bit more specific in relation to the average ticket. I wanted to understand a little bit about the growth of 4% that you mentioned
in your business in the hospitals and oncology units without the AMO clinic, how much of this comes from the impact that you commented on in the previous quarter about the postponing of readjustments of prices for several clients from October to January? If you adjusted these effects, would you be able to have an estimate of how much was the average ticket increase? And also, jumping on this same point, what are the, so we can project a mix over the year? And these two questions, basically, economics of the new users of NAV and the average ticket, outlook for the average ticket. Hi, Gustavo. As far as the units of NAV, we've increased greatly the number of users from the first year. It focuses greatly on that. And now in the second year, we're doing a lot of engagement with this user. What we observe is that as the objective of the platform is to secure these people for DASA, both for the doctors as well as for the patients, both in the use of the doctors as well as the patients. Gaining share of wallet, and a good example of this is in telemedicine, as Pedro mentioned, about 11.3% of our patients were able to use do through navigation through the hospitals or through diagnostics. And so they use our, so the platform is contributing, and it will contribute even more as since we add new services and connect all of this user journey. As far as M&A, this is organic growth. It comes from our base, our user base, and not from any. We're using that strategy of using our core business to migrate users to the platform, and we're doing that based on the base that we already have. So the M&As are not really contributing to that. When you take a average user who uses the NAV compared to the doctors who don't use it, there's an important difference in an average of 3 times more of DASA service usage. And the uplift which he presents also is constantly higher. Of course, we're focusing on gaining quality and generating value for the doctor and for the user. Our biggest focus is not to gain revenue. We don't want to burn the platform. We want to resolve the problem of the user, of the doctor, and then generate a lot of value for the users. Then we can start to work on a strategy to monetize that. Embora, even though it is already contributing to the short-term revenue as well. And I'm going to pass it over to, before I pass it to Emerson, I wanted to answer your question about the price readjustments. That postponement, which made in the fourth quarter, was all in diagnostics. That effect only contributed to the numbers of the diagnostic unit. When you look at the hospital units, the impact was zero. There was, in fact, an increase in ticket of 4%. And then Emerson can talk a little bit more about the other questions. This increase was related to complexity, and we saw an increase in electives since the beginning of the year, and it continues to be a tendency to this increase of elective surgeries. Thank you very much. Very clear. Your answers are very clear. Thank you. Thank you, Gustavo. Our next question, it comes from Samuel Alves, sell-side analyst of BTG Pactual. Samuel, go ahead. Good afternoon, everybody. Just one question from my side, just to explain a little bit more, the laboratory segment. You even said that the strategy involves separate collections, premium brands, new products, coordination, care coordination, but to understand what happened in the first quarter. The revenue was flat, practically flat year on year. But to understand what was this effect, is this downsizing was related to COVID? If there's any brand of lower tickets losing share, but to understand the effect in the first quarter. And if you think that the downsizing of COVID over the year
can also bring a negative impact to your margins. I'm not sure if that's what happened in the first quarter. However, do ex-COVID, we'd like to understand a little better. Thank you for these questions, Samuel. If we take out the COVID, our growth was almost 8% during the quarter. So we are able to continue to grow well. And we take away the COVID effect, the growth is very strong. We think that the COVID will continue to fall over the next quarters. That's in our projections. And we're going to seek in every possible way to compensate with other lines of growth loss of margins is very, very limited. And basically, we had to, and also in January, we have a line of energy expense, which is very high at the beginning of the year due to the summer here. I don't think it will deteriorate margins going forward. On the contrary, all of the actions and the check-in and optimization that we've mentioned, we're confident that we'll be able to gain productivity in the units, improve costs and control costs, and have a good projection of margins going forward. Those are the principal points. And beyond that, we also have an important commercial front. In the first quarter, we have a very strong commercial team. All of the agreements that are signing to be able to continue with good numbers in the next quarters. Also very confident that taking out the COVID effect, they will continue to grow well. Thank you, Rafael. Thank you, Samuel. Our next question is from Luca Marchesini, sell-side analyst at Itaú BBA. Please, Luca, can you please help us
out? Boa tarde a todos. Obrigado por pegar a nossa pergunta.
Thank you for taking my question.
Nossa, uma clínica AMO, e o segmento
it's in relation to the AMO clínica. I know that
oncology has shown good growth in Salvador, where we see oncologia. Poderia, por favor, comentar sobre como a companhia está vendo essa dinâmica competitiva, essa praça em específico, e também qual é a estratégia para esse segmento?
Any strategy for this segment? Luca, as I mentioned, oncology, beyond being a high growth business, in our company, it is totally benefited by our thesis of navigation. The early diagnosis is very relevant and has a huge impact on lower costs and better results for the patients. We've seen this during the IPO. Our breast cancer cases, and we created here in the group a few weeks ago, we showed a tool where we seek out in the image exams alterations, which could indicate an early diagnosis of cancer and then bringing these patients in for early care. In Salvador, we have a clinic, which is an outpatient clinic, very strong. The brand is very relevant in that in there. It's one of the most principal brands in imaging. The opportunity to make early diagnosis through our diagnostic business. The AMO clinic is very strong, but it didn't have a reference hospital, which is essential for the oncological patient because whether he needs a surgical procedure or an urgency, if he needs an emergency room for some kind of emergency care, now having a hospital nearby is very strategic for that business. So today we have the entire ecosystem for oncology, door to door, especially oncology in Salvador, which puts us in a position, a very favorable position to do this navigation in early intervention. And we have a line of care of the oncology patients in our group, guaranteeing the lowest cost and a better results. The strategy here at this time with the acquisition of AMO is very focused on organic growth, bringing in new medical teams, which is already happening with the arrival of Gustavo and our certifications. The impact of the early diagnosis is very relevant to the operators, to the health plans. So we're having lots of new companies signing up and the acquired companies. This is our strategy for oncology.
And the Salvador, the city of Salvador is totally aligned with this because we have all of our services available there for our patients.
Perfeito, Emerson. Super claro. Obrigado.
Thank you, Emerson. Very clear. Thank you. Thank you, Luca. Our next question comes from Gustavo, sell-side analyst in Bank of America. Gustavo, please go ahead. Go ahead. Good night. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking my question. Just one question on this side. I want to understand a little about the coordinated care. We've heard of this since the IPO and the updates. What's, you said, so it was, you had an all-time high in bringing your flow to you. I want to understand if this is what's happening. And also, if these values of 15-20% in cars consider continue to be viable in these coordinated care fronts. If you could, thank you very much. Hi, Gustavo. Basically, the adjusts that we mentioned here in this quarter were implemented, as we mentioned here, focused greatly on the diagnosis. Readjustments is never easy, especially with the inflationary pressure that we're facing right now, but we've taken advantage of our scale and the synergies which we have between our businesses to have a, and the good relationship we have with the payers to build business models which create more incentives without hurting our profitability, which is the success that we have in this undertaking. What we have postponed has already been implemented in January, so it's already impacting the first quarter numbers, and we have no contract, relevant contract, which was readjusted by contract date in the first quarter. So the growth that we've seen in the first quarter is principally growth in complexity, and these the readjustments will come in the second and third quarters of the year when we get these price readjustments. I think I sent this question a little bit earlier. So I ask, forgive me if it's repetitive. So talking about coordinated care, if you could tell me what's your strategy for, it seems like the payers are looking at that as a possibility of bringing more flow to your operation. And those benefits, which you saw in the past, well, 15 to 20% are really happening. Understand a little bit about the coordinated care strategy. Thank you for the answer for the question about the pass-throughs of price increases. Great, Gustavo. So I think here it's worth to mention your question again, because when we talk about the NAV, we look at it as a platform of involvement, engagement of the user. We make it available for all the users and doctors that use some DASA service. It's free. You can go in there and download it on the web. The strategy of the NAV platform is to simplify the journey of our users, solve these problems right there on the platform. And as much as we involve this engagement, we increase the lifetime value of these users. The coordinated care front is another business, two different things, just to make it clear. The care coordination is a business that we have here inside the company, which we sell this to the operators. We do a co-management, and with these, the number of affordability and the number of claims, it's an opportunity to grow in this business, especially in the profit sharing model, as we've done since the beginning of last year with a great deal of success together with some operators, some payers. We've been able to reduce both in comparison when we take a portfolio, both the same portfolio from the 12 parent and a control group during that same period of patients who have the same profile, population profile, but which are not being coordinated. And both in one scenario as well as the other, we have seen reductions of 20 and sometimes above 30, as high as 35% in the reduction of costs of the entire portfolio, making the patients more healthy, more happy with a higher NPS and the services that we offer. to these serve to these payers, and I think that this could be a gain of new contracts in this scenario. And obviously, this know-how of coordination of care that we have is very important for us to automate this model of coordination in Navi, so that we can also use this art, this intelligence to help the users navigate in our ecosystem, which is also part of our strategy. And it's a business, but we also automate and digitalize this know-how to empower Nav as we go forward, getting more value for the users. Thank you. I think I was on mute here. I think that's why I missed part of my question. I'm so sorry. It was my mistake. Thank you, Gustavo. Our question and answer session is now ending. I would like to pass the palabra over to the company for their final considerations. So thank you all very much for your participation. It was a great quarter for us to make a step in the direction of what we're dreaming of for the company here, both from the strategic point of view, as well as operational efficiency, margin gains, and profitability. And we're very focused on what are the principal levers for us to continue bringing these benefits to our company and advancing and gain share and growth. Thank you all very much. And up until the next call, have a good weekend. Thank you very much. The video conference of results for the first quarter of 2022 of DASA is now closed. The IR department is available to answer any other questions you might have. Thank you very much for your participation and have a good afternoon.